All right, find your seats. Find your seats if you would. If you brought your scriptures, I invite you to turn them to Philippians 4, verse 8. If not, I invite you to turn your eyes to the screen. This important verse has potential to change our lives. Every verse, when we live it out for God and His glory, has potential to change His lives. But this, for me, has been one of those verses that I have just hit in my heart and has really changed who I am as a parent and so many other things. I pray that this might really speak to you this morning. It comes from Philippians. This is Paul speaking to the church of Philippi. It was a Roman state at this time, so they didn't have to pay extra taxes, anything like that. But they were worried. They see Paul in prison, and they're scared. They're worried. This church of Philippi was probably, if you look at the epistle, was probably the epistle that I think is really Paul. I mean, we don't have favorites, right? But this had to be one of Paul's favorites. This is the only time, this is the only congregation that ever gave Paul ministry for him, to provide for his ministry. Church of Corinth, there's other people, they gave money to help the poor in Jerusalem. But Philippi is the only church that ever provided for Paul's ministry itself. And you see Lydia, these other things. This is a congregation, they didn't care about themselves, they really cared about Paul in a special, special way. They loved him in a special, special way. And they see Paul in Rome, although some people are beginning to speculate, it might have been Ephesus, but probably Rome, in prison. And getting ready, not far from being executed, and they send Epaphroditus, one of the people of Philippi, a dear friend of Paul, to bring him a coat while he's in prison, a Maritima prison, which is right by the Roman Forum, also where Peter was for a period of time. And anyway, so and they're worried about Paul. And because without Paul, what's going to happen to this push for the Gentiles? What's going to happen for trying to win everyone for Christ? Without Paul, can the church at Philippi survive? They are filled with concern. They are filled with worry. And Paul writes these words to them. One of the last words to them in the epistle. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever good things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's say a word of prayer. Gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for these words that can challenge and shape us this day. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord's name. Amen and amen. I know it's been a while since I preached here. Forgive me for my long absence, but I need some help today from you as well. These yellow balls are going to represent the good things in our lives. And I'm hoping you have some good things going on in your lives. Does anyone have any good things? Just shout them out. Shout. A little bit louder now. Okay. Sorry. Family. Health. Job. Friends. Friends, okay. Grandparents. Brothers, church. I'm a little embarrassed. That took us about 10 balls to get there, but that's all right. What else is there? Woke up this morning. You got breath in you, absolutely. Prayers for our country. And we talk about, let me just say this for a moment. After just seeing a lot of different countries out there in the last few weeks, and just all my travels, we talk a lot about what's wrong with this country, but please know we are blessed beyond measure with the freedoms we have, and not just the freedom, the people we have in this country, the assets we have in this country. It really is just, let me go down that one rabbit trail for a moment. It just is such, I'm going to put two balls in. What else is there? What are the blessings? Okay, put one in there. I'd do half if we could. What else would you say? Opportunities to serve God. That is true. Okay. Yeah, truth. Well, let's put that one in. What else is there? Anything else? Freedom to worship. Forgiveness of sins. Children. Grace. Christ, Bible. What's that?
God's message,
absolutely. And God's mercy. Well said. Prayer. What a beautiful privilege we have to speak to God directly. Praise God. Anything else? Home? The weather? Animals? Pets, yeah. Pets and animals, yeah. Christ's message through music. Are you talking about animals? One more rabbit trail, I'm sorry. I went to seminary my first semester at Duke. I went every seminary. My whole experience at seminary was at Duke. But I remember my first semester at Duke, we had someone that was a Seventh-day Adventist. And they were saying about how animals should never be killed or eat anything like that. And I'm a steak lover, for better or worse. We our professor said, does anyone want to comment about this? And I raised my hand. And I'm a little bit of a contrarian sometimes, and I don't mind being a little bit of a jerk sometimes either, I guess. And I said, look, for me, animals need to do two things. They need to taste good and fit well. There's just this silence in this room. And the Seventh-day Adventist came to me afterwards. The one who said, you know, animals shouldn't be, and I'm not saying animals should be beaten or anything like that. But I remember she came up to me afterwards and she said, thank you for sharing that because I know that a lot of people feel that same way. So thank you for giving voice to them. And I was ready for more of a conflict than that. I was not hoping for that, but just the grace. And the Christ that was alive in her was so beautiful. It just struck me. And what a joy it is that we have a chance when people have to hate us, we can return their hatred with love. But all because of Christ Jesus, because he has forgiven us and because he loved us. I'm going to put his forgiveness and his love in there as well. Anything else? He died for us. That seems like a big thing, right? That we might be reconciled to him. I'm sorry, what else? He provides. He provides. It drives us. Yeah, provides for us, absolutely. His peace passes all understanding. Forgiveness for sins, absolutely. Actually, I have a few more balls here. I mean, I think about just how many of the privileges we have that we didn't say that other people are very much praying for, like clean water. About a third of the world, or some people say up to 40% of the world, doesn't have access to clean water. How many other privileges, how many that we have, those are the things, the very miracles that we are praying for. And there's yet more blessings that God has given us. The healing, his very presence with us. When we mourn, we don't have to do so alone. We see in Scripture that Christ weeps with those who mourn. I'm sorry, this is so many blessings, right? So many amazing blessings. What else is good in your life? What's the other great stuff going on? Yeah, so there's like a real joy that can't be taken away by elections. There's a real joy that can't be taken away by a lack of funds in bank account. There's a real joy that can't be taken away by jealousy, a real peace, all these things. There's so many great blessings, and truth be told, this is just a drop in the ocean of the blessings God has given us. But I want us to take a moment, too, and say that there are. And let's just be honest, this Christian life is not filled with all joy and blessings. That there are struggles. When you make a stand for Christ Jesus, sometimes it can be difficult. When you make a stand for Christ Jesus, there will be persecution. The Bible promises us that. When we truly make a stand for Christ, We will be persecuted. We will be looked down upon at times. And there will be people that just say they just don't get us. That's represented in these white balls. So there's a few of them out there. We have a few problems. And you know the trials in your life. You do not, and I do not, I'm not asking you to say those out loud, but for a moment, think about the trials in your life. Think about those worries. That's represented by these white balls. Now, I'm a little bit OCD. When I look at this, and this represents our lives, let's say, this container does. A lot of yellow balls. Is that fair to say? There's a few white balls too. But being a little bit OCD, guess what I focus on? I focus on the white because I want them all to be yellow. This seems out of place. And when I think about my own life and what I tend to spend my time thinking about, what I tend to put a lot of thought into, it's focused not on the joys and the blessings. I woke up with heat on this morning. And my first thought as I got out of bed is, oh, it's cold outside. Not, it's 65 in my house. I get focused on these white balls in my life. This trials and this heartache that I get focused on the things that cause me anxiety. And even though this might represent 3 to maybe 5% of my life when I'm having a really hard and difficult time, I don't spend 3 and 5% of my energy on this. Instead, I spend about 95% of my energy tossing and turning, focusing on these things and not these things. And I fear I'm not alone in that. I fear a lot of us, we spend a disproportionate amount of our time focused not on the blessings, focused not on the goodness, focused not on His grace, not focused on His generosity, but on the things that, the things that make us crease our eyebrows, the things that cause heartache. There's this story. Do you guys remember who's the father of the Jews, the father of the Jewish faith? Do you remember who that is in the scripture? Abraham. Yeah, great. Did you know that Abraham was not the first person called to lead the people to the promised land? His father, Terah, actually was called by God. Go to Genesis 11. After the Tower of Babel story, there's a story in Genesis 11 about Terah. He's asked to lead his family. He has 3 sons at the time. One son named Abram, who we know as Abraham. Another one named Nahor, which was named after his father. And then the youngest, Haran. Of course, we don't have favorites as parents, but I will say there's something about the youngest. They have a way of, maybe the other 2 boys in his life to sort of beat him down, maybe at this point, maybe he's a little bit older, a little bit more mellow, but there's a special relationship with Haran. Haran grew up some and had a son named Lot, who we hear about a little bit later. And then Haran died unexpectedly. This is Old Testament, Genesis times. People lived to be a few years old. Haran did not live to be 205 years old like Terah got to. There was something heartbreaking that I just cannot imagine what it's like to lose a child. Unfortunately, I know some of you know that. But I cannot imagine that. And he was hurting. Terah no doubt heard about this, had a great hurt and a great pain for the loss of Haran in his life. In the midst of all this, God spoke to him. He said, I want you to leave Ur. So old times, there weren't many cities. People said, what do you want to call this? Ur? Well, let's go with that. So They said, I want you to leave Ur. It was Mesopotamia, present-day Iraq. And I want you to go to the land I'm going to show you. And he starts moving. But he gets to this town named Haran. The same name that his youngest son, who's now dead. And he just feels like, this is where I need to be. I mean, there's this hurt and there's this pain, he's saying. There's this hurt in my life, God. I know there's a land flowing with milk and honey. I know there's this other place. I know there's this promised land, but I don't have the energy to get there. I need to stay in this place that just happens to have the same name as my son. He got focused on the hurt. Now, I'm not saying we ignore the hurt. I'm not saying we ignore the pain. Yet I believe there's something, and when we get focused on this, this has a way of growing. Parents, have you ever had a child do something a little stupid? Every week, right? Every week. But just me as a father, one of the mistakes I make, and especially I have a 17-year-old son now who's getting ready to leave the house. And he is, I'm not just saying this as his father, but like he is so wonderful in so many ways. Gabe knows him, so I feel like you're probably going to share this with him. But probably in a teasing way. I'm sure it's not, oh, it's wonderful how much your dad loves you. But I mean, he really is so wonderful so many ways. Yet there's this part of me, like, he leaves his shoes out. Again, I'm a little OCD. And like, when I get home, I'm not like, oh, that's awesome. You did so well in school. Or, you know, let me tell you, oh, I'm so proud of you, all these things. My first thing is, why are their shoes out? I mean, there's so many wonderful things about it, but I'm focused on this. I'm focused on this. If you look at our conversations, I'm afraid, if I'm not intentional about it, I'd spend maybe 95% of our conversations at times on these white balls. I mean, I feel like there's an urgency for me to correct every mistake. Everything that could possibly be wrong. How are you going to marry someone if you leave your shoes out? You know, I'm going crazy, blowing things out of proportion, yet, yeah, I miss out on all these wonderful blessings. And what I found is you get what you pay attention to. You truly get what you pay attention to. We've seen congregations that have struggled for finances, and the more people ask for money, the more pastors stand up and have congregational meetings asking for money, guess what happens? People put a tighter grip on their wallet because they're focused on the deficits instead of the abundance and the generosity of God. And when you focus on the generosity, that's when the budget seems to go up. Or that's when the giving seems to go up. But not when you focus on the deficit. You get what you pay attention to. You get what you pay attention to. This, Paul understands this. This is why he's saying all the good stuff, the richness, the generosity of God. I get that you grieve for me. Paul wasn't too excited about it either. Yet he understood God's generosity. He understood God's love. He understood that no matter the amount of white balls, no matter the amount of trials, there was still an overwhelming abundance of joy. Abraham lived into this promise that his father failed at because he understood that God was going to lead him to someplace better. Some of you say, well, I don't see a path. But that doesn't mean there is no path. So you say, I don't understand why God would give me this hurt, but first we need to understand the blessings. I mean, I truly believe that the blessings are the ones that often give us are often our answers to the trials and to the heartache and to the problems. If you have someone that's dealing with the loss of someone like Tara was, this can be suffocating to just focus on that. But instead, honor that and cry and weep. That's fine, of course. Yet don't lose sight of the richness and the blessings of God. Don't lose sight that through Christ Jesus, we have a chance to meet them again. All those that die in the Lord. There's problems, there's hurts out there. And in your own life and in my life. But what percent of that is truly make up your life? Is it 3 to 5%? Is it not even that? If we're being honest, is it 10% maybe? What is that? I'm asking you to hear Paul's words anew this morning. To truly think about whatever things are true and honest. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, anything's a virtue, if there's anything worthy of praise, I invite you to think on these things. That your life might truly be full. And all God's people said, amen. Let's say a word of prayer. A gracious and wonderful God, we ask for your forgiveness for the times that we have spent so much time and energy focused on the wrong balls. Whether it's the white balls or football or baseball, the golf ball, whatever it is, Lord, help us to instead focus on you. For we know that out of your abundance, out of your generosity, out of your love, flows the riches and the mercies and the blessings. Be with us, we pray, that we might spend a proportional amount of time on the great joy and great peace you offer. For as he sings in Christ Jesus, our Savior, in the Lord's name, amen and amen. Do you know the devil's greatest weapon? Are you guys familiar? What's the devil's greatest weapon? It's discouragement. Discouragement is the devil's greatest weapon. To say, all your life is this. And when you get so focused on these, you lose sight of all those other yellow balls. You lose hope. You lose your convictions, you lose a backbone, you lose a joy, you lose a peace. This morning, I invite you to give these to Christ Jesus, to lay these down at the altar. And as you empty your hands of these, you'll find that you have room for more of these. This morning, this altar is open. For anyone that wants to grab hold of Christ Jesus, as simple as letting go of your sins, repenting of them, and accepting Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And for anyone that wants to live anew, for anyone that wants to embrace the joy and the peace that passes all understanding, that is second to none in their own lives, I'm asking you to lay down those white balls and thank God for these. We're getting ready to enter a season of thanksgiving. Not just a day, but a season of thanksgiving. And this year can be so much different if we truly recognize the abundance of God's blessings and His great generosity in our lives. This altar is open for all. As well as any concerns, joys you might have, this altar is open. Please stand as we continue this time of worship.